Well, again, church family, good morning. It's so good to get to worship with all of you today. Our passage today is Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today, but you feel free to read out of whatever translation you like. One Sabbath, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, we just humbly come before you and ask that you would speak into our minds and our hearts what it is you want to say to us today. Lord, all of the power is not found in me, but it's found in your word. So Lord, will you please direct our minds and our attentions to your word? And will you please speak to each one of us what it is you want to say to us today? Oh Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We cannot understand the things of the Spirit without the Spirit. So Lord, we ask, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your law, wonderful things in your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen. Well, we are currently in a series called Rhythms of Grace. What are we doing in this series? Well, we started off a while ago talking about our vision of discipleship to Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus looks like being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so that looks like organizing our lives around practices of Jesus. It's not just practices, but many times when we say, well, how do I do this? How do I live life with Jesus? Well, we have to look at Jesus and how did Jesus live his life? So we've talked about different things such as prayer. We've talked about certain things such as scripture, things like community, and there's more than that. But today we are talking about the practice of Sabbath. What is a Sabbath? Does anybody know what a Sabbath is? Have you ever heard of that word, the Sabbath? Well, Sabbath is a time that is set apart, that is consecrated for us to experience rest. Rest. Have any of you heard of that word before? Rest? I hope so. Now, I personally am a big fan of rest. I love to rest. I love to just stop and breathe, to go out and walk. I love to spend time reading, just drinking coffee or going to the movies, hanging out with my wife. There's all sorts of ways that I love experiencing rest. The problem for me is that I often feel like I just can't afford to do it. I just can't afford it. I would like to rest. That's a luxury. I cannot afford that luxury. There's always one more thing to do. Whether you are a parent, whether you are a member of a church, Whether you're a spouse, whether you're an employee, there's always going to be one more thing to do. And so what do we feel like? We feel like, well, yeah, when I finish those things, when I cross all those things off the list, then I will rest. Then I will stop. But you know what? We never totally get all those things crossed off the list. And so that does what to us? It totally wears us out. And we work so much, and work is good. Work is good. But the reason that we work is not good, we have a tendency to work for these three reasons. I don't do enough. I don't have enough. I am not enough. Now, there is certainly a place to learn how to work. There is certainly a place to learn about why we work. But there's also a place to learn of an unhealthy view of work, to where everything relies on me. And once I do enough, once I have enough, once I am enough, then I can stop. And so what happens? We are absolutely exhausted, worn out, saying, well, I'll rest one day, and one day never ever seems to come. That is our reality. That is how we currently live day to day. I don't care if you're in high school or if you are in college. Even for many of us who are retired, we are resting, but we still have this restlessness in our heart of, I don't do enough. I don't have enough. I am not enough. Enter the Sabbath. This is where the Sabbath comes in. What is the Sabbath? It is a gift that God has given us to set apart time every week to just rest with Him. Let me give you a little brief history of the Sabbath. We learn in Scripture that God created us and everything around us in 6 days, and it says, on the seventh day, God rested. We see in the book of Genesis that God set apart a man named Abraham. He said, follow me, and through your offspring, through your family, I will make you a light to the nations. We read about that in Acts chapter 3. The goal of Abraham was to go out and to give birth to a people who would be a light to attract people to God. And eventually Abraham's descendants, during a famine, went to Egypt. They stayed in Egypt. They stayed there a long time until their Pharaoh, their ruler, did not know about the history of those people and set them to work as slaves. So the Israelites, Abraham's descendants, were slaves in Egypt. And so what happened? God set apart a man named Moses and his cousin Aaron to go out and intercede on behalf of God to Pharaoh to say, let my people go and give them rest. Now I want to read to you Pharaoh's response to Moses and Aaron. Pharaoh said, it says, but the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. What does Pharaoh say? You don't have enough. You don't do enough. You are not enough. And he lays more and more and more unnecessary burdens on the people. Why? The sin of Pharaoh is not that he ruled over the people. The sin of Pharaoh is that he did not care at all about the people. And yet what happened? God steps in. Through Moses, God delivers his people out into freedom. And he tells them to do what? He says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall do your work, and then every seventh day you shall observe a Sabbath rest. Why? There are two reasons that Scripture gives us for why God has told us to observe a Sabbath rest. Number one is found in Exodus chapter 20. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So number one, first reason, because God made you, he called you to rest. Second reason, found in Deuteronomy, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What are the two reasons that God gives us for observing a Sabbath rest? Because I made you, because I love you. That is why I've called you to observe the Sabbath. In other words, God says, I am not Pharaoh. I'm your father. Those are two totally different ways of viewing God. And in our passage today, what do we see? We see two different views of God. One view of God as Pharaoh. One view of God as Father. In our passage, we see that Jesus and his disciples are going through a grain field, but it's the Sabbath day. And in the Old Testament, we read that according to the law, you're allowed to go through your neighbor's grain field and you're allowed to pluck their grain. You're not allowed to like take a sickle and just go to town and start reaping a big harvest for yourself in your neighbor's grain field. But you're allowed to, as you go, pluck it. That's not what the Pharisees were mad about. They were mad that Jesus' disciples were doing that on the Sabbath day. Now, does God's word ever say that people cannot do that on the Sabbath? No, the Pharisees were so particular and rigid about making sure that they did not work on the Sabbath that they had created so many rules for the people to observe on the Sabbath that actually the Sabbath became more of a burden than a delight. Did you just hear that? They were laying unnecessary burdens on the people. Who does that sound like? Pharaoh. The spirit of Pharaoh is alive and well. Even though Pharaoh himself is dead, in comes the spirit of Pharaoh, that sense of you do not do enough. You do not have enough. You are not enough. And what does Jesus say? He says, hey, don't you remember? Like, I'm just going to go straight to Scripture. Don't you remember when David was on the run for his life from Saul, when Saul was trying to kill David? David went to the temple. He asked the priest, hey, do you have any bread for me and my men to eat? The priest said, we're out of the common bread, but we only have the bread that's supposed to stay up front and that only the priest can eat. And David said, I'll take it. And so did the priest say, no, I'm sorry. You can't do that. It's against the law. Now the priest said, okay, take it. Because you don't exist for those laws. Those laws exist for the sake of you. They're meant for you. God is not Pharaoh. You are not a means to an end. God is a father. Everything he does is for your sake, out of deep love for you. And so Jesus says, man was not made for Sabbath regulations. Man was not made to observe certain rules. The Sabbath was made because God loves and God made mankind. So what does that mean? It means that you can stop. You can rest. You can delight and you can worship. Why? Because God is inviting you into rest. Why? Because God cares about you. God loves you. And so God gives us this practice that reminds us, that helps us remember, okay, God is not Pharaoh. I know there's more to do, but God is my Father. He wants me to stop. He wants me to rest in Him. He wants me to delight in Him. He wants me to worship Him. You are invited to do that. You're invited. You don't have to, but you're invited to. Man, this, it's going to look different for everybody, the practice of Sabbath. And you might be asking, well, okay, how do I observe Sabbath? How do I do this? We're going to get more into that. We don't have to get it all nailed into one sermon today. Right now, I just want this to kind of be an introduction for you of this concept, of this idea, and this gift of the Sabbath. It truly is a gift. Man, for me, ever since I started actually practicing Sabbath, it has been life-changing. It hasn't just changed what I do, it's changed who I am, who I have become over time. It has truly taught me to trust more and more that not everything depends on me, that even though I still have a list of things to do, I can trust that, hey, I can rest, I can stop. God is my good shepherd. He's still going to take care of me, and I can trust Him. I can say, okay, I'm resting today. What does that look like for me? It may not look like this for you, but for me personally, you know, the Jews originally celebrated the Sabbath every Saturday. The earliest Christians started celebrating the Sabbath on Sunday. What do we see from that? There's no right way, or there's no one particular day you have to choose. I just personally choose the day with the least amount of interruptions and choose that today to be the day that I observe the Sabbath on. Now, for the Jews, Sabbath began the night before. So for me and my wife, Marcella, we celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. So on Friday night, we say it's the Sabbath. We rest. Actually, this is kind of embarrassing, but on Friday night, once the sun goes down, we start singing a song. We go, it's the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath. And we power off our phones. Yeah, you heard me right. We usually turn off our phones. And Marcella's pregnant, and you know, sometimes I'm like, well, I need to kind of have access to her. So it's not like a religious law that we follow, like, oh, I have to have my phone turned off. I have it turned on if I really feel like the moment calls for it, but I usually turn off on Friday night, I turn off my phone. I try to turn off my computer. Try to turn off everything that's just going to tell me that I don't have enough, I don't do enough, I am not enough. And I say, okay, I can rest now. I can stop. I can go outside. I can just enjoy the beauty of God's creation. We sleep in. On Saturday morning, we don't set an alarm. We just sleep until we wake up. And I go and make coffee. I usually get this like little Dutch stroopwafel, and that's like my sign that it's the Sabbath. I have a little Merry Christmas cup because the Sabbath is like my weekly Christmas. So sometimes I use that on the Sabbath. And we are just asking ourselves, wow, what sounds restful to you today? What sounds fun to you today? So yesterday we woke up late, we drank our coffee, and then we went out to the farmer's market. And we enjoyed that together. And then we went back home, and then I went off to pray and read scripture, went off to go outside and read until I was just done reading. And then we came home and just feasted, had a great lunch, and at the end of the day, there's so much more that we did yesterday, but it wasn't like, okay, I've got to do this, got to do this. It was just, man, what sounds restful? What sounds fun? And we just did it, and we enjoyed it. And you know, right now, oh man, I feel so good. I feel so rested. And you know, I don't just live the Sabbath differently when I practice Sabbath. I live all 6 days differently when I practice the Sabbath. I read a story this week about a doctor. You know, in the medical field, it's, you know, doctors can tend to pride themselves on just working and working and working. And one doctor admitted, hey, I was working so many tests, or I was working so long and hard that as I was seeing people, I was just running so many tests for these people. But once I stopped and rested, then as I saw those patients, I noticed I was thinking more clearly. I was running less tests for those patients. I was able to help them more. Sometimes we don't stop because we say, I can't stop or else people won't be helped. People need me. No, what people need is for you to rest. People need for you to stop. Sometimes by not resting, we're hurting more than we're helping. Hey, didn't Jesus work and work and work and heal and heal and heal? Yes, Jesus did work. This Sabbath is not anti-work. But you have to see one thing. Jesus was good at working and healing, but Jesus was also good at hiding. Jesus was very good at hiding from people and not telling them where he was. And so in our rhythm of following Jesus, we have to come to this realization that, okay, it's okay for me to stop. It's okay for me to rest. It's okay for me to delight. It's okay for me to worship. This is the rhythm God made us in. To inhale and to exhale. The Sabbath day is the exhale on the week. We're often living with the inhale, never getting to the exhale. God just simply invites us. Breathe. Enjoy this gift that I have given you. Do you have to observe the Sabbath? You do not have to observe the Sabbath. Romans 6:14 says, you are not under law, you are under grace. Colossians 2, verse 16 through 17 says, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, what you eat or drink, or with regard to festivals, or a new moon, that was a Jewish festival, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. In other words, what are we learning? We don't have to observe the Sabbath. We don't have to be like the Pharisees. Hey, you better observe the Sabbath. You better do that every Saturday. Or you better do that every Sunday. Oh, you cannot load your dishwasher on that day. Or you cannot put a letter in the mailbox on that day. No, this is not what God is after. God wants us to see that, hey, I'm not Pharaoh. You are not a slave. Like Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, I'm your Father. Who of you who are parents who has a child who never rests and takes deep pride in their overwork would say, yes, that's how you should do it. No, out of love and care for them, you would say, oh, I want you to experience rest and delight and joy in your life. I want you to experience now, not wait till one day later on, but now. It's the same way with God towards us. You are invited to experience this, to enjoy this. This is such a gift. Maybe it looks like an entire day. Maybe it looks like half a day. Maybe it looks like a morning. The point is not so much to follow rules, but just to see God's heart for you, to see that, hey, we desperately need rest. In his book, Sabbath, by Wayne Mueller says, for want of rest, our lives are in danger. Our lives are in danger. God sees that. God loves us and God cares for us. He invites us to rest in him. You see that verse Colossians said that these things, like the Sabbath, are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ? What does that mean? These things that we see in the Old Testament, all of the different festivals, all of the different practices like Sabbath, Paul says they were all along pointing us to something in the future that we have now received in the present. Christ. Christ Jesus. Jesus is the substance of the Sabbath. When we see Jesus, we experience and we enter into the rest that God has made us for. Sabbath rest points us to the fact that God loves us and he made us and he proved it to us by setting us free, not just from Egypt, but from sin and death itself. And so we know that through Jesus, like the book of Hebrews says, we can now enter into a Sabbath rest in the present and look forward to our ultimate Sabbath rest in the future when God's kingdom comes with the second coming of Jesus and we just experience, ah, everything broken, everything sinful, everything wrong is gone, and I can rest with the Lord. As we practice Sabbath, we are memorializing that God made me and loved me, and we are declaring that I will enter this reality totally and fully when he comes back. Look at what Jesus said at the end of this passage that we're looking at. Jesus said in verse 28, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Number one, Jesus says, I get to determine the rules and regulations of the Sabbath, because as Colossians says, all things were made by, for, and through Jesus. So when the Pharisees say, "No, Jesus, you're in the wrong about the Sabbath," well, Jesus says, "Well, I made it, so no, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not something that I say yes to. The Sabbath is something that says yes to me. But the Sabbath is also something that points to me and the rest that I give." As we live our lives hearing this lie, "You do not have enough. You do not do enough. You are not enough," we come into the presence of Jesus, who invites us to rest in him, to say, who says to us, "I am enough. You can breathe. You don't have to try to be enough anymore. You can simply enter into the rest that I have for you." And so in Jesus, we find the embodiment of Sabbath rest. And church family, as we engage and practice Sabbath together, we simply stop, rest, delight, and worship, and enjoy the sufficiency of Jesus, the heart of Jesus for us. And remember that he's not Pharaoh. He's our Father. He's inviting us to rest with him and in him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much that you did not make us to be machines, but you made us be sons and daughters. And so, Lord, as your sons and daughters, you invite us into deep rest. We invite us to simply trust you, to acknowledge that you are Lord, that even after we die, this world will keep spinning, and that this world does not depend on us as much as we think it does, but it always has, always does, and always will depend on you. And you don't call us, Lord, to work for you. You call us to work with you. And that is what Sabbath reminds us of, Lord, that we are working with you, and we can trust that you will take care of us, and you will accomplish what we can't accomplish. And everything we do accomplish is ultimately through you. Oh, Lord, you can do more with 6 days than we can with seven. And so, Lord, we simply say thank you for this gift. Help us, Lord, to learn how to observe and receive this gift that you've given us. It's one of the only commandments, one of the only 10 commandments, Lord, that we tend to brag about breaking. Lord, help us to just embrace, without shame, without judgment, to just simply embrace the gift that you've held out for us. You've held it out to our weary, broken, hurting souls. Refresh us, Lord, in Jesus Christ, as we work with you and as we rest with you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.